Welcome to PR360, where every week the brightest minds in public relations, communications, and media discuss the topics and trends you need to know about. PR360 was produced in partnership with Global Results Communications. Now here's your host, Todd Perry.
Welcome back to PR360. My guest today is Nicole Pence-Becker. She has more than 15 years of experience in journalism, communications, media production, social media, and she's also a public relations expert. In 2017, Nicole founded Pence Media Group, a full-service public relations, media, and marketing consultancy working with startups to Fortune 500s. Nicole started PMG to disrupt the traditional consulting business model by organizing a group of experienced women consultants with rare and valuable sets of skills to create real, working strategies for each client. Nicole has won 4 Emmy Awards as a broadcast journalist, 3 Telly Awards as an executive producer, 6 Muse Awards as a creative director, and 3 PRSA Pinnacle Awards as a public relations and marketing expert. So, Nicole, is there anything I've missed?
Well, I have 4 boys.
Oh, wow.
So I am a mom of 4 boys, and I have twins at the top that are 8. I have followed by a big old surprise, which we'll get into, is how that kind of really influenced, you know, how I got into PR. Matthew is just 12 months younger than the twins.
Oh,
so they're 8, 8, 7. And then I have a 3-year-old boy. So, you know, my work life is really dynamic and fun and involves a lot of women. But my life at home involves only boys and is also dynamic and fun, but a little crazy. So Todd, thanks for having me on today.
No problem. It's like you need to get some kind of balance here. You're only working extremes of the spectrum.
It is really true. Thank you for acknowledging that. And I don't know if it's healthy to be doing that, but I don't really know if I have another option. So that's where I'm at today. Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
There's as the ancient Taoists said, there's a heavy yin energy and heavy yang energy going on here.
Yeah. I wish it would be more balanced, but it's not. So so here we are.
So, you know, in doing this show, there's sometimes when I get intimidated doing it, and it's usually when I see Emmy Award winner when it comes to like a news anchor, reporter, journalist,
yes.
And then suddenly I feel like a schlubby podcaster, and the interview should be going the opposite. We should switch and sit in different chairs.
No. Do not feel that way. You know, it's been fun having experiences telling stories in different settings. You know, frankly, when I think about starting as an on-air television journalist, you know, 15, 16 years ago, you know, really at that time, you know, the only way to get your story told was through, you know, broadcast news.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's so fun to see, you know, that you can do it through podcasting, you can do it through blogging, you can do it through social media. So I always tell people when they're calling me up and like, I think I want to be a television news reporter. I say, okay, if that's what you want to be, that's great. Is your interest in kind of journalism, storytelling, truth telling, kind of being that other part of the community and, you know, upholding, you know, kind of, you know, helping to uphold, you know, laws or things like that? Or do you want to be a content creator, right? Because now you can do that different ways, inclusive of podcasting. So it's kind of fun to see the evolution of all of that.
So why did you make this step going from being a broadcast journalist into the world of PR?
Well, to be honest, it was out of necessity. So I was a television news anchor here in Indianapolis. I was the main anchor on the Fox 59 show at night. So I had my own television news show at 11 p.m. and it was very hard hitting, kind of, we called it news point, straight to the point. It was 30 minutes, solo anchor, you know, kind of got right to it. A little bit, you know, kind of like you're saying, a little more gritty. And
yep.
Then I was then put on the CBS show in the morning, which I think is more aligned with my personality, a little bit more fun, a little bit more, you know, kind of friendly, frankly, you know, evening news versus morning news. And I was really excited to continue that journey. And I thought I was going to do that, you know, for the next, you know, 30 years and ride into the sunset. But I delivered twin boys and then went back to work at 2:30 in the morning to anchor my morning show. And I was totally fine with that and really committed. And, you know, I got home at 1 o'clock and, you know, had all the time with the babies. And then we all went to bed at 7 and I just kept getting up. But then I found out I was pregnant with Matthew when the twins were 4 months old. So I worked up until, 3 days before Matthew was born, but then I had, a small daycare. I had three sons in 13 months. And I just kind of said, I have to, I have to walk away from a career that I loved. And I remember, the local media, did this breaking news alert about me retiring from TV, and it just was the only option in my mind. And it was, turns out to be the best decision I ever made, which is kind of fun because initially when I made it, I struggled with like my identity because it had all been wrapped up in being a television news anchor for, 13 years, and I loved it. And then I was changing 30 diapers a day and doing nothing, doing nothing but everything. Right. And right. I was like, I used to put makeup on and get dressed and do all these things. And these people, it's a little funny thing that fame does when you're in kind of the broadcast world. But fast forward, I got into public relations just because people kept asking me, directly to answer your question kind of with some more detail. I was interested in public relations because I was interested in telling stories and answering people's requests about how do you get your product or story or good on television. And I was like, well, maybe I could help them with that. I have my master's in public relations or my master's in public affairs. And so I was like, oh, I think that's kind of interesting. And then candidly, my father ran for Congress. So my father is Congressman Greg Pence. And he said, I need a communications director. And I said, yeah, you better find yourself one. And he said, no, you're going to do it. And I said, hell no, I'm not. Because it's just very divisive, politics is, right? Oh, yeah. And I just didn't want anything to do with it. And fast forward, you can't argue with your father. And, you owe him that. So I did it. And it was the best thing I did, Todd, because I learned everything about marketing, public relations, crisis communication, speech writing, event management. I mean, it was horrible. it was like the best, fire alarm that you could ever have running the campaign as a campaign director. And that's what pushed me into realizing, oh, my skill sets are more than just reading a teleprompter, right? Yeah. And kind of, emceeing events. And so that's what propelled me after winning the primary with him and telling him, okay, now I'm absolutely done. Find someone for real. I then moved into creating this consultancy, as I prefer to call it, which is Pence Media Group.
Yeah. So just to backtrack just a little bit.
Yeah.
When you were thrust into the role of communications director working in politics, whenever there's a new endeavor, there's always kind of the known unknowns, right?
Yeah.
You know going into it, there's things you're not going to know. And sometimes those lessons you learn are going to be counterintuitive to what you thought. Like, this doesn't work the way I thought it would. What was something that part of that job that you learned that you didn't think you'd learn or kind of came out of nowhere that you were able to put into your skill set?
Well, I had no idea about email marketing, and I know we're talking PR today, but to me, leverage every tactic in your own channels first and then move to, earned media and public relations as a tactic. I always tell our clients that. But I knew nothing about email marketing. I knew nothing about, kind of that. And it's a lot to learn, frankly. Yeah. I think also social media, having done it so much for my own brand as an on-air journalist, I knew it. I was good at it. But I also didn't understand the dynamics of how you communicate as a, campaign candidate versus an elected official, the dynamics, how you, if you are elected and you even win the primary, immediately you are beholden to the voter, right? You're you're no longer the person who's like, vote for me, I'm the best, right? You are now, thank you for voting me, what can I do for you? So the idea of like true constituent services and understanding how you create that into your communications plan was really interesting and to be honest, pretty challenging. And then you're dealing with the dynamics of a divisive campaign where you have to make the choices about, are you going to comment? Are you going to no comment? Well, if you're going to comment, what are you going to say? Why is that helpful to the rhetoric? Why is it not? It's hard.
Yeah. And I would assume that in that position, it's one of those things you're like, well, if we get 65% of them right, we're doing pretty darn well because it's
51, just 51. All you need is 51.
Right.
So, it's like, that's within 100%. It's like, well, I guess that worked. you know what I mean? Yeah.
So you started Pence Media Group as to disrupt the traditional consulting model by hiring a group of female consultants? And how has this unique approach made all the difference when it comes to working with clients?
Well, I think the reality is, again, I just looked at my own experience. I was, you know, very skilled in communications and obviously public relations. I wasn't classically trained, you know what I mean, as a television news anchor. And so really had to teach myself that. I was very good at writing, you know, again, my master's degree is in public affairs, but understanding what goes into kind of assessing things. Like I love kind of doing research projects. So why I did this is because it was, again, not born out of necessity, but kind of opportunity. I saw that there were a lot of women who were just like me, who wanted to flex for their family. This was like, you know, 6 years ago, so pre-COVID. And they were moms. They wanted to be home more. You know, television is a, you know, zero-sum game. You know, there's only one morning news anchor, one evening news anchor, and you better be at that station at that time or that job's out and you're gone.
Yeah.
And so I realized that I knew all these women who were effectively, you know, CMOs. They were incredibly capable and they just wanted flexibility. So as opposed to agencies who run that model more tiered with like, here's this skill set level, here's this next skill set level, here's this next skill set level, I started recruiting the people that were only right here and said, we are going to be a group of experts. And these consultants are going to come and solve your communications, marketing, and PR problems collectively. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to be paying for them to learn at your expense, client. Okay. And the clients in the market really found a lot of value with that. And it's evolved, but I'm sure we'll get into that.
Yeah. So does the fact that you hired all women, trying to figure out the correct way to phrase this, the fact that it's all women, does that A, mean you go after different clients where maybe given it's, you know, females, that you get what I'm saying? It's like, which dictates which, right?
100%.
Do you go for clients that are looking for the female touch?
Yep.
Or do you bring the female touch to, you know, existing businesses and brands that need it?
Nobody's asked me that. And I actually think it's really good for me to reflect on that. I think initially when I started Pence Media Group, and we refer to it as PMG, we started PMG because, to be honest, you know, again, these women wanted to work 10, 20, 30 hours. We could quantify the hours and we then won the projects just anywhere. We were just looking to grow, right? Mm-hmm. Now it is interesting. Clients are coming to us if their product is speaking directly to a woman. They're really coming to us. I've got a couple examples. So Plui is a national brand that's the world's first and only self-sanitizing diaper changing table. Let's say it again.
Okay.
The world's first and only self-sanitizing diaper changing table, because everybody goes, oh, why didn't I think of that? You know what I mean? So they invented this product, patented it. It's incredible.
Wait. Oh, real quick. Before we get too deep into this, does it self-sanitize?
So it closes and the UV technology lights up, and then 60 seconds, it sanitizes the entire surface and then it's ready for use next. It's awesome.
Wow.
And the only competitor in that space is Koala Care, you know? So it's a really, you know, kind of ripe for the picking. So to answer your question, clients like that, we're also the PR agency of record for Bog Bags, which Bog Bags are a national brand. They are a beach bag that's sold in Dick's and Academy, and lots of women know it. But their whole mantra, you know, really was for the mom going to the beach, and then it was for the nurse, and then it was for the teacher. So again, to answer your question, I guess it's a little bit of both. I guess people do look for us for that perspective as moms and females.
And so when it comes down to working for Plui, what work did you guys do on the PR side that really helped boost the brand?
Well, I think what's unique about us, again, coming with this mindset of, like, I guess I can dumb it down by saying, you know, effectively, we were a consultancy that, I guess you could have called us all fractional CMOs before that was a tag. You know, I had no idea what that was. And now I'm seeing it all the time. I'm like, oh, I guess that's us. but I think what perspective we bring and what we did for Plui is they called us and said, we've got this awesome product. We want to be, you know, in the media. We want lights. We want, you know, we want national publications. We want all podcasts. We want all this. And it's like, okay, hold on. What's unique about PMG is that we're also just marketing communication specialists. So they had a great product, they had an awesome logo, but they had no brand. They had no brand content. They had no brand messaging. They had no unique value propositions, mission statement, you know, everything. And so we said, whoa, 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 you're not ready for the influx of PR. We're not going to hit play on that. If you want to call somebody else, call them. But we really want to make sure that we're intentionally sequenced about how we're going to tell your story. So we went and rewrote everything, wrote from their website, redesigned social, took over social for a year, and then really worked on the communications to then leverage and create these PR assets and then to go tell that story. So our success with them has landed them on Good Morning America, Shark Tank, tons of PR. And it's such a cool thing to be a part of a startup, you know, because you're like, we're in that one too, you know.
It seems to me like the Pluie people came to you with like a skeleton, and then you guys put some meat on the bones, put some flesh, gave it a nice hairdo, and sent it out in the world. Interesting. To back up just a little bit, you were talking about how the PMG started as, you know, a consultancy with a group of women trying to, you know, find balance in their lives.
Bingo.
And do you think that really put you in an amazing spot when COVID hit, that you guys were already running this way and everybody else had to adjust, and you're like, wow, we actually built the better mousetrap before we knew what the mouse was?
Well, thank you. I feel like that makes me seem smarter than I am. But I also think the reality is like we just kind of got lucky. 100% we're remote first. We have headquarters here, which is in my basement. And people come to the office maybe once a week just so we can all connect. But to your point is, yeah, we were already doing it that way. You know, I made a joke I had heard when we first started that some other people in the marketplace were referring to us as, you know, the group in our city that we work in, Carmel, but we have clients everywhere, you know, as the moms who work in their pajamas. And I was like, yeah, sometimes we do. Are you jealous? You know, and not in the sense of like being competitive. It was the sense of like, just because it hadn't been done before didn't mean it didn't work. And then the world saw, oh, hell yeah, it works. And guess what? We're still doing it. You know, we get together and we go to clients as we need them, but we're remote first. And 65 to 75% of what we do is in our homes, which again is that flexibility that a mom who's on my team primarily is interested in. She does want to put the laundry in and she does want to do that stuff. And she wants to work 8:30 to 4:30 so we can be with our children. So it's actually become a little bit, Todd, a recruitment tool, to be honest, too.
Oh, yeah. Now, do you think that having a group of women with a very specific type of lifestyle helps you guys work better together because you all understand each other versus if you were in an agency somewhere in a building downtown and you're pulling from all over different kind of walks of life? Do you feel that commonality helps make the work even better or easier?
I do. I'll refer to it as like our shared experiences. There are a couple women on our team who are a little bit younger. They're rock stars, and we call them our strategic account coordinators and manager. And they are not that expert level, you know, that we provide our clients, and it's understood that way. They're not billed that way. Mm-hmm. But we do have a couple women who've joined our team recently who also don't have families yet, but are married. And I think some of the shared experiences of being more settled and where they want to be has also been helpful, like you're saying, because, you know, life hits and somebody might say, oh shoot, I had to do that, but now so-and-so's vomiting, I've got to rush to the doctor, you know, can you pick this up? And everybody's like, got it. And I think that's nice. You know, I do think that's a really nice shared experience. And it's not like, oh, everybody at PMG thinks the same way and lives the same life, but it is like, it's helpful because we are more easily and understand each other during times of need to step up for each other.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I would assume also with that model, you're going to have people that hang around PMG for a real long time versus hopping from agency to agency.
I hope so.
Well, it's great to speak with someone who seems to be very proud of what they've accomplished and is doing great work out there. You can, you know, we're just doing this remotely, but you can feel it come through the screen and through the audio.
Yeah, well, thank you. I think we definitely are. I think it's the fun Pluie clients, and then we've got, you know, some really other big national clients like National FFA, Bog Bags, I mentioned. Sweetgreen, Sugar Factory, when they come into the market, they chose us to activate and be creative. And I think what's fun about that is like, we kind of like also like to be in the know. You know what I mean? Like, we're like, oh yeah, we already knew that was coming in. Like, but let me show you guys what we're doing for them. And that's fun. That's a fun thing.
How have you helped Sweetgreen specifically?
Yeah. So Sweetgreen came into the Indianapolis marketplace and they had not done this. And so this was really a testament, I think, to us. And I'm really proud to share. And we've got a blog on our website all about our Sweetgreen story with an awesome, awesome testimonial. So Sweetgreen normally activates in the marketplace and corporate owns all of it. But I think we made an impression on them and they were opening 3 locations in Indy. So they were opening one at the fashion mall, one downtown Indy, and one in a suburb. And so they said, figure out how to make it special, activate these in the market. So to be honest, that was actually more grassroots marketing. We did a lot of video production. My background, you know, as an Emmy award-winning journalist, I love to produce videos. But also we did a lot of influencer strategy and influencer management for them. They kind of hold PR a little bit closer to corporate and they feel like they don't necessarily need it because people kind of just say, oh, Sweetgreen's open, Sweetgreen. You know, it's definitely a little cultish. But we strategically created grassroots marketing campaign for each location and created this, you know, awesome, awesome, fun, you know, different, you know, types of events and experiences for the consumer and for our medias and VIP. And, you know, they beat all of their sales goals. And, you know, we stayed on with them for the full year for that initial activation and then helped them hire a local marketing girl to come in full corporate. So we interviewed and we helped them with the onset and then they sailed off in the sunset. And we still have a great relationship with them. So I think that also makes us unique in that we're not afraid for our clients to leave us. Like if we've done our work and we're like, okay, you're good, right? What else do you need? Can we train your employee? Can we help you with this? You know, they're like, really? We're like, yeah. Like what do you need? And then we could either leverage different tactics for them or, you know, kind of move on and wait for their call for the next project.
Great. Well, it's been a pleasure speaking with you today, Nicole. How can people follow PMG? How can people follow you? What's the call to action here?
Well, I'd love for people to connect. I'm pretty active on Instagram and Facebook. So my handle is Nicole Pence. So that's NicolePence. And then on Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn, we're pretty dynamic and active with Pence Media Group. So it's just Pence Media Group. You know, we're the group that likes to showcase our clients. We're not afraid to tell you who our client is. I feel like if another agency would try to poach a client from us, that's fine by me because that means the client isn't satisfied. We've not had that happen. So we don't hold anything to the vest. We share our work. We share what we do on behalf and for our clients and we help elevate their brand through our platforms. And as you can see, I think we have a lot of fun.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Nicole. We hope to maybe catch up somewhere down the line.
Absolutely. Todd, thank you. And appreciate you highlighting public relations and elevating the industry as you do on your platform. So thank you.
PR360 was produced by Todd Perry in partnership with Global Results Communications. Be sure to subscribe to the show and leave a review wherever you get podcasts. Follow GRC on all socials at Global Results. Follow Todd on Twitter at Todd A. Perry. That's Todd with one D. Talk to you next week.